A few years back, I can remember it was my birthday and I was going to school expecting everyone to bombard me with birthday wishes. By the way, I was turning 14 and I was in the 8th grade. When I got to school, everyone did exactly what I thought because I was pretty popular. As I walked through all of my friends, I approached my locker and as I looked up, I noticed a new janitor cleaning something up by the boys' bathroom, which was at the end of the hallway where no one ever goes. I've never seen that janitor before, but when I saw him, he stopped mopping the floor. He stood up straight, smiled and said,
"Happy birthday, gorgeous."
I just looked at him and then I walked to my first class as fast as I could. By the time we hit fifth period lunch, a few of us noticed that our friend Martin wasn't in school. Every year he would always get the perfect attendance award, so this wasn't normal for him. We all made it to sixth period and I had to go to the bathroom because I was actually on my period and had to change my pad and pee. When I walked into the bathroom, I noticed that one of the stalls was out of order and another one was occupied. And being that there were only three stalls, I went to the middle stall while someone else was in the one right next to me. So as I was using the bathroom, I noticed that there wasn't any toilet paper. So I asked the person in the next stall to me.
I said, "Hey, can you hand me some toilet paper?"
And immediately the girl threw some toilet paper on the floor from her stall to mine. I thought that was rude and awkward. So I did what I had to do and I started to switch my pad when I heard,
"You definitely look like a grown woman to me."
The voice came from above me on my left. I looked up and above me peeking over the stall was that new janitor. He was standing on the toilet. I got up, began to run, but he reached over the wall and he grabbed my hair. It jerked me back, but he lost his grip. I ran out of the bathroom and I ran to the closest classroom and I told the teacher. He ran into the bathroom as the man was running out of the bathroom and they both ran into each other and fell to the floor. The teacher got up and got on the guy's back and began to choke him as a female teacher told all the kids who rushed the hallway to get back in the classrooms. She also called the police. When the cops showed up, the man woke up. Our teacher actually put the guy out. He put him to sleep. Cops apprehended the man and he immediately told him to check locker 111. It was a vacant locker. The man said that he was waiting outside of our school in the shadows and saw the boys from our basketball team leaving practice the night before at around 6 p.m. And at that point it was dark outside, you know, because it was the winter. Then he noticed someone walking by themselves. It was our friend Martin. The man approached Martin in his van and he overpowered him and he got him to his van. What he did to him was unspeakable. Then he took Martin back to our school, broke in without triggering the alarm, and stuffed him in locker 111. Come to find out, this man didn't even work at our school. He was just cleaning the mess that he made, and he stayed in the school all day without anyone questioning who he was. So the police asked him why he did what he did. What was his motive? His answer simply was,
"I don't know, because it was Tuesday."
This is the crazy experience that I ever had in my life. I was 11, about to be 12 at the time, and I went to a Catholic school that was pretty small. In the middle of the school year, we got a new kid. I can't remember his name, but he seemed a little off. He didn't really talk to anyone, but he always turned in his work first, and he was a little standoffish from everyone. So I had gym with him, and he was very aggressive when it came to sports. Very good at basketball. I remember our basketball coach telling another teacher that he had some skills and he was going to put him on the team once he became a 7th grader. So one day in class, I remember something about him stood out to me. The reason I say that is because he coughed and it sounded like a grown man coughing, but he was 12 years old at the time. I can remember him being picked up from school by his uncle and his granddad. I knew that because he randomly asked me to come over to his house with them. I said no, but all three of them insisted that I come over because they had video games and a lot of ice cream for everyone. I continued to say no and they moved on. Eventually that boy left our school, but something weird happened. So he tried enrolling in another school, but that school called the police on him because all of his documents were forged. Come to find out, this was a 29-year-old man who went from school to school posing as a 12-year-old boy. His name was Casey Price, a convicted sex offender. The men that were with him when he tried to get me to come over to his house weren't even related to him. They were 44-year-old Robert James Snow and 61-year-old Lonnie Eugene Stifler. I'm so happy that I didn't go with these guys, because only the devil knows what they had planned for me. This was back in the summer of 1998. I was 18 at the time, and I was with three of my friends, Roy, Brittany, and Tracy. We had just left a funeral of one of our other friends, and we were sitting around talking. It was getting late, around midnight, and we couldn't sleep, so we went to Waffle House, near where Tracy lived. I drove and we got there with no issues. We went inside to eat, and Roy and I noticed two rough-looking guys sitting at the diner. They were eyeing us for some reason. I remember looking at Roy and us looking at each other, but we both noticed that these guys were staring. We nodded at each other and we sat down at the booth with the girls, but we didn't say anything. After we finished eating and talking, we decided to leave since Tracy wasn't supposed to be out that late, and Roy had to work in a few hours anyway. We paid it, and as we were walking out, I noticed the same two guys we saw earlier. They got up and followed us to our car. One of them asked if we wanted to buy some weed, and the other grabbed Brittany and asked if she wanted to party with him. Brittany jerked away and insulted the guy to his face, rather loudly. At this point, Roy was in the back seat, and I had just got in. Tracy was trying to get Brittany away from this guy, and I was trying to keep Roy from bursting out of the back seat, confronting both of them for grabbing Brittany, as he was the hothead of the group. After a few tense moments and shouting by both parties, we all got back in the car, and I heard them say something like,
"Let's go to the truck and we'll handle this."
I assumed they meant weapons, more likely guns. So while they were jogging toward their lowrider style truck, we took off out of the parking lot and down the four lane. Moments later in the rearview mirror, my heart sank when it appeared they too flew out of the parking lot speeding after us in the dead of night. We came up to the red light near where Tracy lived, and I knew we had to turn at the light. I veered into the turning lane, hoping the vehicle behind me wasn't the two men. To my surprise, it was a police unit that lit us up, and they pulled us over. I explained to the cop what happened, and he said he saw the whole thing from the parking lot across the street from the Waffle House. After a stern warning about my poor driving skills, he suddenly left when he got a call on his CB about a lowrider truck and two men. I dropped Tracy and Brittany off at their house, and Roy and I stayed at his place. We stayed up most of the night, talking about that incident. A week or so later, I heard about a police bust in town. Those same two men were pulled over that night by another cop and were arrested after finding drugs and concealed unlicensed firearms in the truck. The guns turned out to be stolen and were used previously in a robbery. I hate to think about what might have happened if that cop wasn't there to chase us down that night. Even to this day, I think about that encounter. This story happened in 2015. I used to live in an apartment complex in Kansas City, Missouri. The place was kind of in the hood. The people there would sit and smoke weed in front of the building and do drug deals in broad daylight. Nobody cared about anything, and the management ignored all of the issues going on there. Other than that, it was like any other apartment complex. One day that all changed, however. The complex had a pool that all the residents would use. It was a decently sized pool, and it was next to the gym. It was a hot day in the summer, so I went to the pool with my mom. We got to the pool and we sat down with our towels and we got ready to swim. We started swimming when all of a sudden we hear some kid saying,
"Oh my God, it's got a gun!"
At first, I thought they were just messing around and talking about a water gun or something. But I quickly realized that they weren't joking. Then I heard two men arguing. I looked over at the edge of the pool to see a man with a gun following another man to his car. I didn't really understand what they were arguing about and yelling about. All of a sudden, I hear two gunshots. I had an instant panic attack, and I thought we were all going to die. So I hopped out of the water and I ran for my life. My mom and I hauled ass out of the pool and I called my dad to open the door to our apartment. We get inside and I start breaking down because at the same time I'm only 13 years old and I've never experienced something like this. The police arrive and tell us that the guy with the guns shot the other man because he stole drugs from him. The man survived because the bullets grazed his ear and just barely missed his head. This experience scarred me for a little bit, and it caused me to have anxiety whenever I go into a public place. My family ended up moving out of this apartment and buying a house in a different town. This experience really showed me that anything could happen at any time.
Nightmare Files.